right, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. It is April 11th. We're recording this on. I just want to apologize for last week. Some scheduling mix-ups, some technical difficulties resulted in us pushing back last week's episode to this one. So this is going to be a supersized episode in terms of we're going to be covering DBs and linebackers. We're going to be doing all on this episode. But before we get into all that, let's introduce the rest of Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hello.
Connor.
Yo.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And Bob.
Hello, hello.
All right, gentlemen. Not too much news on the Lions front, per se, but there's just a lot of draft stuff to talk about, really. Like I mentioned, we're going to be talking about DBs and linebacker, which I think all of us can agree the Lions should be targeting in this draft. Now, whether it's safety or cornerback or linebacker, we can discuss as we kind of get into all these prospects here. But, you know, there's been visits and stuff. Do you guys put any stock into, like, teams, a player visiting a team? Because I know Stingley visited the Lions. They were all seven, like, of the Lions' top draft people were at Oregon's Pro Day. And, like, a bunch of them are talking to Thibodeau on the field, like Spielman. I saw having a long conversation with him. Do you guys put any stock into those type of things, or is it just all it's impossible to say?
As far as actually using it to predict anything, like predicting who they might pick, I don't really put too much stock. But I mean, I do think it at least shows you who they're interested in. I don't think they're going to waste their time on someone they don't want to know more about. I mean, maybe they do just to, like, you know, if it's like a quarterback or something, because they just want to throw some chum in the waters or something, I guess. But I think you could find some indication. It's just not going to give you all that much certainty.
Right. Now, I think it's interesting, too. Campbell, one of the most open guys out there, his emotions, everything else. But him and Holmes have really kept this really tight to the vest, and we really don't know what they're going to do. I mean, they're doing a great job of kind of muddy in the waters, and no one really knows what they're thinking, and I kind of like that. I think they're doing a good job of that.
They want people who love to play football.
Yeah.
No one else wants that.
That narrows it down.
Yeah.
That narrows it down to everybody.
Yeah. So let's just dive into these prospects, shall we, right away?
Sure.
I want to start with the safeties here.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people are targeting that as, you know, Lions possibly go number two at safety or late first round, early second round. There's a lot of prospects here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read some of the top ones off the list. Kyle Hamilton, obviously, Dax Hill from Michigan, Lewis Seen from Georgia, Jalen Petrie from Baylor, Jaquan Brisker out of Penn State, Brian Cook from Cincinnati. There's more as we go on the list. But, you know, we've talked about Kyle Hamilton in our mock draft. Has your guys' view changed on him at all? 6'4", 220. Not a great 40-yard time. Yeah. Actually, he didn't have a great 40 time at the combine, and it was worse on his pro day, which is unusual. Usually they improve on it. But so Kyle Hamilton, who wants to throw out their first opinion on this guy and whether we should be taking him at two or not?
All right. Yeah, I was the one dissenting voice when we took him at two in our combined draft. But no, I like him. You know, he's a good player, but I don't think he's that elite over the other guys that I wouldn't take him at two personally. I mean, if we went back a few spots, maybe, but that the speed does concern me a little bit, but obviously he's got all the football skills and love of the game and all that stuff. And I think he'll be a great pro, but I don't know about two personally.
Yeah. Him there.
Yeah. I agree with you, Bob.
The last safety to go this high was Eric Berry.
And he looked like an all world coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, though, they don't work out always, I don't think, in the top five.
Dude, I mean, Sean Taylor, Eric Berry, Errol Holmes.
It's just rare. It's rare.
Yeah, it is rare.
For the safety to get taken. UJ, it sounded like you had
all those guys
a thought,
are good,
though.
Is all I'm saying.
No, I just, there's a lot of people, and there's so many opinions out there on this draft, but there's a lot of people think Kyle Hamilton is the best player in the draft. And, it's not to be taken lightly. He's a really good player. And I think he'd be great addition to their team. However, at two, I just don't like picking a safety at two for positional value. I'd rather have an edge guy or a linebacker or something like that, just from sheer positional value. If we were to trade down, like Bob said, I would be all over it, but not at two. I
see it. You know, as someone who usually like really is big about positional value, I would say, you know, do you think, like, some people are comparing him to Ed Reed. Do you think this guy is the next Ed Reed? Like, do you really think he's that? And if you do,
who's comparing him?
I've seen those comparisons. I've seen him, I don't know. I've heard it floating around on different like things. People talk about it. It's a kind of a crazy comparison, but I've seen it compared on a few different places. Like, people just talking about it, but whatever. Doesn't matter. He's getting compared to really good players. And if you really think he is one of those elite guys, a true like Calvin Johnson type player at his position, you know, a unicorn, like people like to call him, then you can pull the trigger out on a position that's not necessarily, you know, rated as one of the most important. But I'm not sure I see that out of him. I mean, he definitely looks really good. And I just think there's too many good players at more important positions like D end and edge rusher ahead of him that we should be picking before we consider him at two.
Yeah, it'll be tough to see him take a safety at two. I think,
especially if he's so slow too.
He's a big dude though, 220 pounds. He's got a massive wingspan. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, the thing I like about him the most is the thing that's hardest to teach a football player. He has elite football instincts. He like knows where to be in the right spot at the right time. And that's just really hard to teach. Yeah. You can have all the physical skills in the world, you don't know where to go.
And he's a lot faster on the field, in a football field, than he is on a 40 track.
Well, the last time we heard that was Tease to Boer.
Watch the film.
I don't care. You can see that guy flies. Like, he covers ground on the field. When he puts his foot in the ground and accelerates, he gets places fast. Like, you see him blitz from a safety position, like deep, and get all the way into the backfield and sack a quarterback.
Yeah,
like it's impressive. He really does cover ground, and not everyone's great at running in spandex. You know, some people just function better on the football field.
Well,
I'm not saying it's not a concern. I'm just saying,
I'm not sure what he does not have a sack in his college career. I just want to note he has zero.
Oh,
sack.
He must have been a near sack then in the film I was watching.
Hey, Rud Dog, that as we go down this list, one of the guys I like in terms of that game closing speed is Lewis Cine out of Georgia.
Yeah.
That guy, just watching him play, I don't have all the, you know, measurables on him, but the way he can like make 6'2", up the ground 200. No, but I mean his speed measurables. But just watching the eye test, the eye test, he definitely passes big time in my eyes.
Bob, I agree with you. During, in the national championship game and the game before that, he was all over the field, man. His name was getting called all the time. He was making plays everywhere. And he's 6'2". I mean, you got to love that, too. So, yeah, I like him, too.
Yeah, 4.37, 40-yard dash. So, definitely has more than enough speed. 78-inch wingspan, so plenty of size for an NFL safety. No doubt about that. He can get to the ball. He is known for dropping a lot of interceptions. I just want to note that.
Yeah.
Those well, are he must be getting into position if he's dropping all those balls.
So you're saying he's got a lot of pass defenses. Yeah, right.
He's played
defense
that
for years. It's just Lions tradition to drop.
Yeah, good point.
But, you know, I like the idea of getting a guy like this. We don't have to get him at two.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of great safeties in the draft, and I don't know if we need to reach a two for one.
Exactly.
When D-line and edge is such a priority right now, to me, personally.
Yeah.
I also want to shout out Dax Hill just because he went to Michigan and he's also a speedster.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people have Dax Hill ranked ahead of a scene in this one.
Oh, yeah. So, I love Dax Hill. That'd be a great pick, too.
Absolutely. 4.38, 40 yards, so just slightly behind Lewis. But
that's so fast.
Wingspan's
so
pretty big, too.
Yeah.
Yep, I don't 79 like and a fourth.
A safety at two, but I think in those next two picks, I think we should take a safety.
Yeah.
I think one of those guys is going to fall there.
I agree.
Scene, Brisker, or...
Right.
Who did I just say? Seen Brisker or Dax Hill.
Yes.
Yeah, and Dax Hill is known as another one that has a really good instincts at the safety position as well. So it seems like people are valuing like the football IQ over some of the athletic traits to a degree in this, just in a lot of people's rankings this year that I've seen, at least at the safety position, which I find interesting.
Hmm. Well, that more cerebral player.
Is there any player that that is not in that first round or like early second that the Lions will might
Smoke Monday.
Smoke Monday from
for
Auburn?
The name alone, but also because he's supposed to be pretty good.
Have you watched Smoke at all play?
Oh, yeah.
That's like an in the box safety more so.
Which I kind of like, though, because that can compliment Tracy Walker.
I think the last Smoke game I watched him play, I think he blitzed on 50% of the defensive snaps. He was all over the field in that game. But yeah, that's definitely more of an in the box safety, kind of a disruptor. So if the Lions are looking for that type of player, then yeah, absolutely. Someone I've seen the Lions go for in the third round, possibly. But this depends if he would actually fall to them. Again, safety, wild card. But Jaquan Brisker out of Penn State, 6'1", 206 pounds.
Like
I've seen him mocked at times. 76-inch wingspan, 4.49, 40. Uh-huh.
You see him drop into the third round, you say?
No.
It depends on how they evaluate the safety. I've seen second-round grades on him, but I think he could fall to the third round.
Well, if he does, he'd be a value there.
Yeah, it'd
I
be
think.
Great value for the third round.
He'd be
sure.
Incredible.
So a little less explosive than maybe some of the other guys like Hamilton, but a really tough player. He's a playmaker for sure. So a solid, strong safety the Lions could target.
Yeah, this kid looks good on film, and he looks really good.
What do you guys see Tracy Walker as? Do you see him as your roaming free safety, or is more of a box guy, hybrid? What do you think we need to compliment him the most? What imagining that he's going to be the guy we're going to base this pick on?
Tracy Walker's played more of the free safety role in his time in Detroit so far. I would imagine that's where they want him to stay.
Is the ball hawking sort of
that? I would agree with that too.
Yeah.
Right. And
so that's like, we need a strong safety then more than anything. It's kind of
it depends on which safety we take. I think if it is Kyle Hamilton, well, then they can
do anything.
Flip roles and disguise the defense more.
Well, that is
because of the skill set. But if it's more, if you're going like I said, Smoke Monday or something, the guy's just going to be in the box all the time. Then
I think though that
you can't,
Tracy
you can't
can do a little more.
As much.
Sorry. Say what was that last part?
No, it depends on which prospect you get and what they can do, if they're versatile or not.
Well, I'm saying you might make the pick based, you might pick that prospect somewhat based on what you want to compliment Tracy, is all I'm saying. Though I think Tracy's a little more of a balanced player than a true just pure free safety guy. I think he can go up in the box, and it wouldn't be bad to find another guy who's balanced and make him sort of interchangeable.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he isn't it's versatile. I'm saying it depends on the guy that we draft, what role they envision him for him more, I guess.
Yeah, that's why I kind of like Dax Hill, because he's a pretty versatile guy. I mean, they can move him around, do different things with
him. Yeah, they plugged him around on Michigan D. So.
And I think that's why they're ranked a little higher than some of these other guys. The Quan Brisker would definitely be a strong safety, not a free safety. Or at least based on what I've read about him and watched. That's what I mean by like where it's hard to say exactly where Tracy Walker fits, because I think it depends on who the personnel around him is and what role they need him to play.
So you're saying he's so balanced that they might just make him adjust to whatever they pick.
Right. And I think that's like the Lions, like Aaron Glenn and this defense and our GM Brad Holmes want is that versatility.
But I'm saying you'd probably pick a guy who's going to fit, who's going to compliment him more than you're going to pick a guy and then make Tracy Walker adjust. He's the guy and want to, see succeed the most. He's like your foundational piece. So you're not going to pick a guy and then make him adjust. You're going to pick a guy that works well with him, what you already have, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
Right.
Like, if we have a choice between a couple of these guys, we might consider the one that fits best with Tracy Walker, not just, I don't know. I don't know why that's confusing, but.
If it's some superstar athlete that's available, you're gonna take him. Just
sure. Well, yeah. I mean, that guy's just good enough. Yeah.
Did you guys see that clip with Campbell and Tracy Walker in the hallway? And he's like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The best line. You know what you want to play for.
Yeah, the best line of that whole thing was, this is the secret of Dan Campbell. He says, now, hey, this is you, Nana. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? This is your team. This is yours. What are you going to do with it? And that's that's what he's got with these players. You know, they own it now. He wants them to own this.
So awesome.
I love that so much.
He talked up, you know, how he was there from the start of it, you know, when the lean year, and then you know, he's going to get to see it pay off and be part of it. So,
I thought that was really cool. So cool. That's a great video, though, too. It was like 15 minutes long, Behind the Den 2 or something like that. Kind of a preview to
it's really good.
A little warm up for Hard Knocks.
I'm gonna throw one more name at safety for you, really quick.
Okay.
Then I think we might be able to move on. But Nick Cross out of Maryland. So this guy is 6 foot, 212 pounds. He's out of Maryland. He's 20 and a half years old. So really young guy. Played for 3 years in college. Led his team in interceptions all 3 years he played in college. 2, 1, and then 3. Has forced 3 fumbles the last couple of years from the safety position. That's no easy feat. 4.34, 40 yards, 6.85, 3-cone drill. So the good about this guy is super athletic. And it's good and the bad you get with him. But again, he's a really young guy, and he can maybe learn to pick his spots. But he's inconsistent in terms of where he takes risks. So sometimes he can give up a big play, but then other times, like I said, he's leading his team in interception. Sometimes that risk taking rewards him with the interception.
Was that like Alfonso Smith, right? Back in the day. Remember him?
I don't remember him.
Alfonso Smith, he did like the Carlton in the end zone. That was his dance.
Oh.
He was like a total ball hawk cornerback for us. But as much as he picked him off, he also gave up his share too.
Right. Wow, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
I was just thinking about him the other day, and I couldn't remember his name, and it just came to me right now as a perfect reference. It was, I don't know.
You were just thinking about Alonzo Smith the other day.
Wow.
I was asking you about him, UJ, and you couldn't help me with who I was trying to remember.
But at the very least, he could be a good special teamer. So just a name to look out for. And he has like kind of a late third round grade on him. So maybe maybe that late comp pick. But I just want to throw out him as well. Was there any other safeties that we wanted to mention before moving on?
I've heard Marquise Bell or whatever.
I've heard that name wrong.
Like, he would be like a project guy. Like, it seems like he has some like athletic potential, but he's like whiffs on tackle sometimes. And I don't know about his IQ, but I've heard him like mentioned as like a late round, like sleeper, not for the Lions specifically, but just like as a safety sleeper pick. I don't really know too much about him outside of that, but
yeah, interesting. 23 years old, so he's on the older side of the for the draftees here. 4.41 40, 7.253-cone drill. And what I've read is that he has some of the physical tools, but at best, like, he projects to be like maybe a rotational safety or a special teamer. But he would have the work on a lot of his coverage skills to go above that, I guess, if you will.
It seems like missing tackles is a big thing for him.
But you like that physical upside, especially when with the guys we got coaching here now. Yeah. You know, get a guy like that, a flyer in the sixth round or something, could turn out to be something special.
Yeah, could be.
All right, so let's move on now. So, it'll be interesting to see what the Lions, if they attack the safety at the top spots.
I think they need to. It's probably their most important position after maybe linebacker of need.
Well, let's move over to cornerback now, shall we?
Yes.
I have seen. I think it was Todd McShay in his latest mock draft had the Lions going with Derek Stingley at number 2.
No.
Another cornerback, really. Yeah. It was either him or Kuiper. I can't remember which one. I've definitely seen him mock to the Lions at 2, though. On some people's.
That's such a stretch.
I don't see us taking him, but that guy, man, watching him work out, man, that guy is man. He's going to be a good NFL player.
I don't see us taking him at two.
But I do like him as a player, but not for the Lions at 2.
Yeah. We tried that early cornerback stuff.
Yeah.
Forget it.
But dear Lord.
It could still work. I still believe in Jeff Okuda.
Yeah. Get Okuda and Stingley bracketing. They will be shut
Okuda's,
down.
Have you guys been watching? He's been posting like workout videos on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm choosing to believe. I'm choosing to drink the beer.
Hey, that's what we do here. That's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I don't like the pick, but I believe in Jeff.
Good for you.
Thank you, guys.
So here's a guy with a good name. A guy I like a lot, but I don't know if it's worth two overall, is Ahmad Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
6'2", 190, 4'4", 140. This guy, I don't think he gave up a touchdown this year in college. Very little yards even overall. And that's because he was just blanketing everybody. The quarterbacks had stopped looking his way. Alabama didn't throw his way at all.
Wow. Sounds like Okuda 2.0. That's what his college looked like, his college career.
Except he's got more elite traits, like, you know, height, because he's like 6'3 and actually ran a 4.4. Dude's fast and tall.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a lot to like about him. Very little that you don't like about him, really. I mean, he got penalized 9 times the last 2 years, which is more than Okuda. But
the big knock I heard on him is he's kind of like the next Deion Sanders, where like he does his job extremely well, covers like white on rice, and then he can tackle really well when he's like the last guy on the edge or like, you know, containing. But like they say, he doesn't get involved in many tackles and like extra tackles where he's not needed or thinks he's not needed, doesn't chase extra after the play, kind of just turns
Deion
it on.
Sanders is a hell of a player, man.
Yeah, but he was always kind of like that diva. People recognized he didn't want to get hurt. He didn't like interested in throwing his body in the way of receivers and people and stuff. So I'm just saying that's like he's like an elite cover guy, but he might not be like the guy you want enforcing, but he can, but you might need to like coax some extra effort out of him. That's all I'm saying. That's the one knock I heard on him, which is, you know, take it as you want.
Well, here's the guy that's the opposite of that, Rudd Dog. Trent McDuffie. This guy apparently has a high motor and makes plays from the backside all the time. Cornerback out of Washington, 5'10", almost 5'11", 193, but a 4.44 40, known as one of the most explosive athletes in this draft for his position.
Yeah.
It's a little on the smaller side, maybe, for what you want for a top cornerback, at least in the draft. Yeah. But again, really high motor. Really high floor from a lot of people that read about him. So I just want to throw out his name. It's kind of
if
the guy that was
football doesn't work out, he could definitely open a pub because McDuffie is a good for that.
Yeah.
So, is that the crime dog, McDuffie?
Is it?
McDuffie the crime dog?
The crime dog.
I'm not familiar.
McDuff. Yeah.
You mean underdog?
No. Oh. There was a McDuff.
McGruff.
McGruff.
That's that
makes more sense.
Well, we can use it. I mean, like McDuffie the crime dog. It'd be great.
If we draft him, we're making that a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. And just going back to Stingley, the thing that worries me about him is that he hasn't played a lot of football in the last 2 years. even this last year, so he was like a COVID opt out. So he didn't play football this last year. And then even the year before that, he was out almost the entire season from an injury. Yeah, so he has barely played the last years.
Well, that could be good or bad if he's a long-term prospect and works out.
But yeah, I just think it's a little riskier to take a guy that hasn't played the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's definitely going to go in the first round, though. That guy's a beast.
Yeah, they said that about Penny Sewell, too. He didn't play.
Yeah, but it wasn't 2 years.
Yeah, that was 1 year. And that was an odd year where a lot of people were opting out, so it's slightly different. But
there's another guy, Andrew Booth Jr. out of Clemson.
Yeah,
junior cornerback, 6', 194. Guy's got great ball skills, tough physical guy. So he's another guy that is one of the top guys, I guess. I don't know if we'd probably have to get him fairly high in the draft. We went for that.
Yeah, I've seen a late first, early second grade on him, kind of. So
yeah,
that would be if the Lions are going to target a cornerback with that 32nd or 34th pick, that could be a name that they look to get. Another guy, a lot of interceptions last 2 years, 5 interceptions last 2 years in college. Missed a couple games from an injury, but a former 5-star recruit, all the other tools that you look for. And pretty versatile by all, you know, all accounts, at least.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Holmes does, you know, because since he found guys like undrafted and late rounds last year, if he's going to keep that approach on the quarterbacks or if he's going to
get
somebody up high.
Holmes is going to really like in the middle rounds, maybe, is Tariq Woolen out of
I've heard that name.
STSU. I don't know what STSU, the Roadrunners. But he's a 6'4", 205-pound cornerback, and he ran a 4.26 40 with a 42-inch vertical. I'm just saying, that's kind of freaky.
And look, go ahead, UJ.
You know who they compare him to? Iffy. That's his pro comparison.
Perfect.
Yeah. I just want to throw that in there.
So, the thing about Tariq
Woolen, Kevin King.
He played wide receiver for the first 2 years in college, and then he changed sides of the ball to cornerback the last 2 years. His nickname is Reek the Freak by his teammates.
From Game of Thrones reference? Reek?
That's what I was thinking. Oh, Reek from Game of Thrones.
Terrible reference. Tariq Woolen. Oh.
Terrible reference. Oh, God.
I'm Reek. That's all his interviews post-game. Reek. I'm Reek.
Everyone thinks they're like being nice, like saying Reek, Reek. They're like ripping him.
When coach isn't happy with him, he's just Reek.
No. Tears. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, God.
Reek, carry my shoulder pads.
But obviously, like you said, Rudd Dog, elite athletic traits, 10'11" broad jump. I can't remember if you mentioned that as well. Just another, you know, one to add to the the bucket there. But it's just a matter of, you know, when you're willing or how high you're willing to draft him because of his immense upside.
Right?
But can he put, you know, the footwork together? Because that's the big thing with
him. I mean, starting around the third or fourth round, maybe he starts to get real interested by someone with that kind of.
I would imagine he doesn't get past the third round with those athletic traits.
Then maybe our third round pick. That'd be.
Yeah, perfect. But would you want it the early third or the comp third?
I don't care. With those that kind of upside, they can take him in the second round for all I care. I mean, can you imagine him and Iffy eventually being like our outside? Just the freakiest, biggest cornerbacks. That would be so awesome.
At the very least, a nickel back or something like that.
Something. Big safety. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heard, 6'4". No, yeah, he wouldn't be a nickel back probably, but
I think. Who knows? With that kind of upside, anything's possible.
Yep. Only 2 interceptions for him. And they played a lot of teams that threw the ball a lot, so I don't know if that's a knock on him
height and speed, you think he'd be making some more plays on the ball. What about pass defenses? We got that. You'd think there'd be a lot.
What do you got, Connor? You got a new guy?
I was going to throw like a later round guy out there.
Please throw. We'll catch.
I've heard Martin Emerson a few times, and he's only had so his big downside is he doesn't have any interceptions. I think he's had 1 in 3 seasons at Mississippi State, but he seems to be like a tall, fast, physical freak. A lot of tackles for losses. He'd be like a later round guy, but he kind of intrigues me because I feel like Holmes is going to find one of those later round guys that clicks. That just seems to be what he's got. He also isn't much of a slot guy, but I don't know. He's kind of an intriguing prospect for me because I think we will maybe draft one safety high, or sorry, cornerback, and I think we might go on for one in the later rounds as well. So I'm trying to keep an eye on a couple of those guys, see if one of them pops up for us.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that pick.
I got another one.
Throw it.
Cam Taylor Britt.
Ah, he took it from me. Yeah, go ahead.
Nebraska. I'll let you help me with this too, Big Z, but real fast 40 time, 4.38. Explosive guy, did some safety and cornerback, some of that versatility we were talking about earlier. But Big Z, you take it away. I'm sure you got all of it.
Hey, he's 5'11", just like me.
There you go. I mean, just to throw on, you know, a quick one in there for just about him is people project him more as a guy that's going to fit within a zone scheme, kind of guy that sits and like explodes and reacts more than he is good in playing in press coverage. So. Which the Lions have trended towards playing more rather than the Patricia years where it was all 90% man coverage, just, you know, hold your breath.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
Usually we were choked to death because it was not good. But Yeah, so that's just about him. That was another guy I want to mention because he also like is known as a really tough like player. He's willing to stick his nose in there, which kind of speaks to playing his own game, because usually playing his own game requires you to sit and come hammer a guy over the middle or something like that. So
like that.
But yeah, I think we covered a lot of these cornerbacks pretty good. Threw a lot of names out there. Yeah. We're at 30-minute mark, so I think we're moving at a good pace. So yeah. let's get to the last part here, and we because I think there's a lot to talk about.
Oh yeah, my favorite section right now coming up,
and it's a position of need, and we're still waiting for the guy that becomes next Levy, I guess.
Or better,
and
hopefully.
You would hope with Chris Spielman leading a charge with the Lions that they can find this guy, but nonetheless, linebacker. let's move over to. UJ, you seem really excited. So let's start with you. Who tickles your fancy here right now?
Well, the two obvious ones seem to be Nakobe Dean and Devin Lloyd. Depending on who you read, they have one rated above the other. I've seen it both ways, Dean or Lloyd, and you can switch them. I mean, they're both really good. I like Lloyd because he's big. He's bigger, more prototypical, 6'3", 237. But Nakobe Dean's a little on the small side, but an incredible, incredible football player. But my feeling is that both of those guys are going to be gone by the time we pick at 32.
Yeah, and they're not worthy of a number two overall pick.
No, I don't think anyone on that list is, really. But this is where it gets fun. At 32 and 34, there's going to be some really interesting choices for us. And the two that I like the most are Troy Anderson and Chad Muma. Because they are prototypically... No, you can talk about them all you want. But, I mean, both of these guys...
UJ, you take one, Rud Dog take the other.
I'll take Chad Muma, because I know Rud Dog loves Troy. But reminds me of Urlacher, Keekly type of guy. Big, 6'3", 240, covers the whole field, just moves incredibly. I just love this kid, watching him play. Watch a lot of his film, and, boy, he'd be an instant starter, too. Instant upgrade to this... defense. You know, if we get one of those edge guys at the number one and one of these guys at two, good God, our defense is going to be instantly better. So yeah, big fan right there, Chad Muma.
I like it.
Yeah, interesting. Did you guys have any other opinions on Chad Muma? 2-year starter out of Wyoming, playing a pro style scheme there, 11 tackles per game.
I've seen him on a decent amount of mock drafts for the Lions, actually.
Yeah, so I have too. Yeah.
That would definitely be a name that would not surprise me if we got him in the second round.
Yeah, the athleticism is the 44th overall prospect in this draft, but there's not a lot of negatives on him. It's more like he doesn't have like the super elite athletic skills that maybe get him in the first round, but he's a guy that is a sure tackler by all accounts of what I've read. A guy that's not, if he gets to the ball, he's not... He's not letting them go. They're going to the ground, which is
His film is good. Though,
we can all admire.
And he can rush the passer. He can tackle. He does it all.
Similar 40 time to Jared Davis, and we took him in the first round.
Yeah, true.
That worked out well. He's back though. He's back.
Yeah. I don't think it was 40 time though. That was the knock.
He's back. Yeah, 4.63 40 for him. If that wasn't mentioned. 10'9" broad jump though, so he does have the explosiveness.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of explosive.
Rod Dog, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just got to talk about Troy Anderson because I don't think there's a point. I mean, maybe number two will be a reach, but I don't think there's there's much of a chance or ability to reach on this kid. I think
that's a reach, yeah.
He could be really special. I mean, okay, I looked up his relative athletic score. You know what he scored? A 10. Like, this dude's a freak. I mean, his vertical was 36 inches, broad jump 10 feet and 8 inches, ran a 4.42 at 6'3" and a half and 243 pounds. His 10-yard split was 1.49. That's elite explosion off the line.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything he hit was in the, like, green elite category, except for his weight, oddly, at 240, apparently. Doing all this is not that, you know, not as impressive, but I'm just saying this guy, but he also mastered three positions while in college, playing running back, quarterback, and linebacker. And I believe was on the, made All-American on all three, or was at least highly touted as all three. And you can see it. He's a 240-pound man who runs away from cornerbacks. It's insane. I'm just saying he's got instincts. He knows how to, he's got a head on his shoulders, clearly, because he can master all those positions and learn all that. Like, I just don't – I'm so excited to see what he does as a pro, and his upside is immeasurable with those physical metrics. So,
yeah, and there's a lot more interesting things about him. First of all, like, he is, like – 4.0 GPA all through high school and college. So super smart guy, super dedicated. Also, he didn't want to play running back or quarterback. His coaches asked him to. Like, by all accounts, like what I've read is that he didn't want to play quarterback, but that because of those athletic skills and kind of his athletic skills and playing at a like a big sky school, they just asked him to play it. So he did it. But The big knock on him is what I've read about, and the thing that will probably knock him to second, maybe even the third round, is that he is a very poor tackler. Now, he stuffed the stat sheet, but that just tells you how many missed.
Well, you can teach that.
Maybe you can. It's hard to say.
We've had a problem with some players like
tell that. Will Harris.
That's true.
He looks better as a nickelback.
I haven't seen that knock.
That's interesting.
You know, that's just if the Lions have a really good plan in place for him, maybe to be more of a coverage guy or like blitz off the edge. Because like you said, he has a freak athlete. Then I'll be really excited. Now, if it's second round, I would not be happy with that.
Really?
I'm going to say I would not want. I would rather have Chad Muma there because I want the guy that is a proven tackler.
Fair enough. I'll take either
early third round, I'd be ecstatic, but second round, no, I would say. I don't know if anybody else agrees or disagrees. But
I think in the first two rounds, especially, you want something more proven to me. Just when you're at this stage of the rebuild, I think you want.
Yep, I would agree with that.
In the third round, you can start to look at like developmental guys, but you want guaranteed starters. I think.
I don't. Really I think this guy can step right in.
I think we're open to looking at a guy that the Lions could take in that late first, early second. Quay Walker, linebacker out of Georgia, 6'3", almost 6'4", 241, 4'5", 240, 10'2" broad jump, 6'8", 9'3" cone drill. He played that middle linebacker or money linebacker position, they call it at Georgia. So 3-4 linebacker. It's kind of like a combination of middle and outside, but nice long arms to create separation. A guy that also has just really good athletic skills. His instincts need a little upgrade. Probably that's one maybe slight knock on him, but just an elite athlete. I would be really excited. I think a guy the Lions could absolutely be targeting late first, early second.
Should we just draft all three Georgia linebackers?
I'd take any of these linebackers. So many good linebacker prospects.
They got that Tindall guy too. That Channing Tindall. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, he looks good too.
I like Tindall.
I've heard good things about him. Yeah, all the Georgia linebackers are really good. Their defense was incredible.
What a defense, year. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. They were.
I know. How about, what do you guys think of Christian Harris too for Alabama?
Yeah, why not?
The guy, he's probably not going to be a star like right out of the gate, but he's got all the immeasurable. I mean, well, he's got speed.
He's got a decent 40
time. 4.44, 40. What is he, 6'2", 226? And he started as a true freshman for Alabama. So the guy's a tough dude. You know, he's been thrown into the fire and, you know, he's done well.
Yeah, so, a team like Bama.
And he's got some speed, too, for getting after the quarterback, too. So but he's got some, you know, he's got to work on some stuff, some of his pass coverage. But he's a super athlete, so he might be a guy.
And I like that he's durable. Played 40 of 41 games for Alabama in his time there. So
I like this.
Hard to do for a linebacker.
Here's a description I'm reading from his strengths. The first line of this just got to make you like him. It says, wakes up choosing violence.
I love that.
That sounds like a Campbell kind of guy. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it.
I love it.
Gotta love that description.
He chose death.
Yeah, and he played cornerback in high school, so he's a good athlete. You know, he can move.
He's a good player. He's a very good player, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I wouldn't hate that early second.
Another
would it be a slight stretch, maybe, but I wouldn't be mad because we need a linebacker. Right. We need linebackers. Yeah. I know you shouldn't be reaching for a position of need, but at the same time, it's a position of need. We need one.
Yeah. Guy I like is Leo Chanel.
Yeah. Just a fun fact about him, the 12th of 16 children in his
family.
Whoa,
what the moly.
Holy mackerel.
Leo Chanel?
That was the thing that stood out to me about him. I don't really know.
That's cheaper by the dozen on steroids.
The fact that he's so damn big, it makes me really think this dude just like killed all his siblings or something. Because like, where did he get?
They just probably kept having kids until he got an NFL player.
He's 6'2". At the combine, he was 261 pounds, but he ran a 4.53. Had a 40 and a half inch vertical jump. Like, that's some explosion in a really powerful man. Yeah. And like, he's a bruiser inside for Wisconsin. Like, he might be more of like a, I'm not sure how great his cover skill is, but he seems like he'd be a guy who'd really up our run game by just destroying inside as a physical force. A little more of a throwback linebacker, but with still like the modern athletic ability.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I would say maybe more of an inside linebacker type.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what...
So I don't know if that's what the Lions are looking for necessarily. I mean, we are moving at 4-3 type, so they do need it.
Someone to replace Anzalone inside and actually enforce the run.
And after watching the Lions get destroyed by the Eagles last year, on the ground, and the Browns too, you know, stopping the run. It's been an issue. Now, maybe that's D tackle, but, you know, linebacker has also been a major issue.
That's a lot of things. We had like the 31st ranked defense last year.
Yes.
We were pretty bad.
Yeah.
So if you try to go to linebacker, you, it doesn't look like anybody this year. Brandon Smith is up for the draft.
But well, we've mentioned him, but he's lower. He's a super athlete. I think he has an RAS score of like 9.9 or 10. He is just a guy that has he's really fallen because his tape is not great. Not a guy that's a playmaker and lacks kind of the football instincts. I guess those kind of go hand in hand to some degree. Instincts and a lack of toughness. You know, you could be the tough, both freakish athlete, but maybe go play basketball or something. Not football.
Yeah.
Not that I'm knocking I don't know how many basketball diehards we got listening to this podcast. So no offense, but, you know, just say maybe Brandon Smith, the sport's not for him. Now, maybe the Lions draft him, but he completely proves me wrong. Cause, you know, I wouldn't hate it as a late draft pick because he is a really good athlete.
Like, you never know where you might find a role.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. No doubt. Any other linebackers that you guys are just dying to talk about here? Come on, Connor. You've been throwing out some really late rounders for me. So
Brandon
Smith would be a late rounder, but
what about this Diego, how do you say that name, from Navy? Fago? I know nothing about him. I'm just throwing him out there because he's deep down on the list and I want to be edgy. So that's my pick to click. The Lions are going to draft this guy in the last round.
I don't know how many Navy games you watched, but that guy, he was all over the field for them.
I did not watch any Navy games.
94 tackles for them this past year.
Tell me why I love him.
If you watch Navy games, he was all over the field. So not the worst. You know, he comes from Navy, too. So, you know, he's got the discipline.
You a Navy guy or an Army guy?
It depends. One of my better friends is a big Navy guy, but then I also, you know, my fiance's dad's Army guy, so I don't know.
There you go.
That's a good point. Didn't think about that.
It's a little, it's a fun game nonetheless. Army Navy, always a great game to watch.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's not the worst pick as far as like an undrafted free agent goes.
Yeah, I got a later round pick there, maybe undrafted.
Yeah, I just want to throw out last year, UJ, I think when we were talking about linebackers, you threw out the Divine Diablo, who ended up being a key piece of the defense of the Raiders last year.
Really?
Now, you just threw out a name for the name.
Too. That's the only reason I know.
But he actually ended up being like a pretty good rookie.
That's why you can't underestimate the value of the name. You know, never underestimate it. So, I got a guy.
I got two.
James Skalski.
Skalski!
Yeah!
Oh, yeah, let's go! I can't wait till he gets kicked out of a game. It'll be awesome.
The human wrecking ball. The guy who just destroys people for breakfast and then eats them for lunch. I don't know.
He's whatever. A damn guy.
He's awesome. He's probably too slow and he's probably too everything else, but this guy is just fun.
Who does he play for?
He played Clemson. For Clemson.
Clemson. Yeah, oh, he was there forever.
He gets ejected out of every major game they play in.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. Yeah.
Oh, two-time captain for them. He seems like a guy that's definitely peaking in college, but he played 69 games for them.
I love the idea of getting him as a late-round flyer or even an undraft.
At the very least for Hard Knocks, right?
Oh, yeah. He'd be fun, man. He'd be fun. So.
I love it.
Yeah.
Good call, UJ.
He sounds like he'd be playing on that All the Right Moves team, you know, with Tom Cruise. Skalski, get in there. Yeah. Or Ampipe. Whatever. But anyway.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's a great guy to end on, I think.
Oh, I got a couple more.
Oh, yeah. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. A couple more. Brian Asamoah out of Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He, not a bigger linebacker, but 6'1", 228, had a nice 40 time. Shows some nice coverage skills and stuff. Could be a nice mid-round guy to grab. Smaller athletic type linebacker, which are getting more and more popular nowadays with all the passing. The other guy, I feel like he just bears mentioning, even though I feel like he fell out of everyone's minds with the injury, but Damone Clark out of LSU. I think he still bears mention because I think he's got a lot of great potential in the league. And if whoever's willing to take a flyer on him for a year to heal up and stuff in the league and then, you know, come out and see what he's got next year.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Spinal fusion surgery. That does not sound easy to come back from as a football player.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Well, yeah. But he was still so good in college. He's worth mentioning.
Hey Z, you might like Zakobi McClain just because of Die Hard.
Yeah, there you go. That's the name I want to
McClain.
Beautiful. That's a great one.
Yeah,
Jojo Damian.
Where is he out of?
Auburn. Auburn. 5'11", 238. He's like
right
towards the late in this list.
All right, a little bigger than John McClain, but that's all right. As long as he wears like the wife beat underneath, he plays with no spikes on.
Yeah, he can walk on broken glass. The guy's tough.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it.
Hey, is that all right? That's a great one. To end on. Nefe that's Sewell?
Oh yeah, no, out of Utah, right? Yeah. Sewell's brother out of Utah. What's his first name again?
Nefe.
Nefe, that's right. I've seen him. In mock drafts, I go to in the seventh round. Maybe I don't know if that's a favorite of Sewell. Like, he projects as like a special teams guy.
Yeah. He's 6 foot 228. You got to be pretty gifted athletically to pull that off in the league.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get him undrafted just to keep.
Yep.
He did run a 4.67, though. That's not a terrible 40.
Got the Aquaras, got the Sewells. Let's grab all the brothers.
Yeah.
Grab all the brothers. All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. That's going to wrap it up for us here. So there's a few things I want to mention before we end the podcast. First of all, please be on the lookout on Twitter, YouTube. We'll be sharing this. Instagram, wherever we have our social media. So it's Instagram, Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter, at Drinking Lions. But we will be doing a live draft watch. So we'll have a live draft party, I guess you call it, a live stream, reacting to everything in the first round, reacting real time. So just want to make everybody aware of that. Find us on our social media pages and join in and give us the live reactions and all that stuff. That'll be really exciting. Again, it's April 11th. We are 2.5 weeks away from the NFL draft. So it's right around the corner, man.
Where's that at again this
life
year?
Life moves pretty fast. Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll be maybe get some live footage. I'll be there.
There you go. You're going to take the boat to the stage? The stage is in the water, the Bellagio fountain, and they're taking a boat. And if you get drafted, you take a boat out to the stage.
I'll have to use some insertion techniques to infiltrate.
They should have him jump over the fountain on a motorcycle and land in the, you know, on the stage. Awesome.
Yeah.
So again, Instagram at Drinking the Boo Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Let us know your, you know, your thoughts on any of these prospects as well. We'd love to hear them. Please leave a review on any of those on Apple, Spotify, wherever your podcast. Please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. SidelineReport.com, thank you to them for hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. And then a thank you, of course, to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J!
At Selfie Made Man on Instagram, too. Yeah, he takes good pictures as well. So just throw out your Instagram handle, Kid J. Or if you want to reach out to him, you know, just how does he produce such a great podcast?
How does he do it?
I don't know.
You know, other than that, gentlemen, just look out for next week. We got wide receivers and then quarterbacks and then our last mock draft before the real shebang.
It's happening.
A lot of exciting stuff this month. A lot of exciting stuff. We got it all coming at you from Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, go!
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lion.